before we start, there was a little bit of fighting outside 46 between Arabs and Hasidim. If there's anything that looks like any type of fight, stay far, far away. I mean, anything can happen here, Hashem Yirachim, and we're trying to be as safe as we can, but it's a quite a serious situation. Lamaisa, we're in the proper topic right now. We're in Tefillah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mesader for our yeshiva that we should be the ones who are working very hard to protect Klal Yisrael, to take responsibility for our own safety and for the safety of our Ummah HaKadosha, of Klal Yisrael. And we've been zeroing in, I haven't given on tefillah in a long time, but you know, you can talk about all the different parts of davening. We've been zeroing in on bakashas, on coming to the Ribbono Shalom and asking for things. There's a tremendous mila in doing this, in growing in one area. Maybe come winter time we'll discuss the area of haidah, of praising the Ribbono Shalom for a while. But we're all becoming bigger people by learning up what exactly we're supposed to be doing, how to daven. There's a science to davening. There's a mahalach to davening. And this is what we need. This is what Klal Yisrael needs. And we should see Yeshuas Hashem keharef ayin ve'ezras Hashem in all inyanim. So we've been talking about that tefillah is a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a masav matan. It's a dialogue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's really the ikkar. You know, at the end of the day, all of us could wonder, where did our tefillahs go? For 18 days, about 18 days, we were davening for something that it could have been was clear at the very beginning what the fate of these bachurim was. And yet, everywhere, people were ripping through shamayim, davening in all places, making kabbalas. So it's hard to understand what were we doing exactly. You know, you feel on some level like what was happening over here. I once heard from Rav Don Segel Shlita, he said that whatever impressions you have about a certain situation, however Klal Yisrael thinks something is happening, that is what's happening. Meaning that's how Hashem wants it to be presented. If we're under a certain impression, that's how the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to be at that time, and he wants us to shtag from that. And all of the tefillahs that we've did, regardless of when this terrible news happened officially, all of these tefillahs, Borei Olam wanted to see if we cared about other people, if we're connected to Klal Yisrael. And all those tefillahs go up to Shemayim, and they stay there for other haganas, for other protection of Klal Yisrael. But a person should never think that the issue is just, did we get an answer? If the issue is a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we understand very well how that could be, that sometimes Borei Olam will hide something from us in order to create something, to get something out of us. The Hashmi'eni is kolik, to hear our voices. We should always keep this in mind. This is the ikkar. The ikkar is the relationship. The Gemara says in Brachas, on Daf Lamed Beis, Amar Rabbi Elazar, G'dayla tefila yaser mimaisim tovim. Tefila, davening, is better, is more significant in terms of getting what you want from having all the good actions in the world. Why? She'ein lecha gadol b'maisim tovim yaser mimoshe Rabbeinu. There was no one greater than Moshe Rabbeinu in terms of his actions. Afal pichein lo nena el b'tefila shenemer al tosif daber alai. We find the Samach Le Alul Rosh Pisgah. We find that Moshe Rabbeinu, the thing that did it for him, the thing that would have, even if he would have continued davening, got him mamish to Eretz Yisrael, is his tefillah. He had all the maisim tovim in the world, but the tefillah is what did it. So Tosfos is bothered. Tosfos understands that, of course, the maisim tovim are important. And it's tefillah with maisim tovim Moshe Rabbeinu needed. He needed his being the tzaddik yisod olam that he was, and he needed the tefillahs. He needed both. However, the Marsha and the Pnei Yeshua say that that's not the pshat in the Gemara. The pashat pshat in the Gemara is that tefillah is greater than everything. Even if a person doesn't have the Maisim Tovim, even if a person is out, he's no shaychus to this Madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu, he's calling out to Borei Olam, such a person has a better chance of being answered than somebody who has a perfect record, a perfect report card, Rabosai. And says the Pnei Yeshua, he's Marech, he says that the Nakuda is, and you find it's Meduyik, he says, by Moshe Rabbeinu. Va'eschanan, Moshe Rabbeinu asks Hashem for a present. The whole idea of tefillah is not to ask according to who you are. If the idea is to ask according to who you are, then most of us are in trouble, but Moshe Rabbeinu most certainly was not in trouble. He had all the maisim in the world, and still Hashem said, no! No! According to your actions, Moshe, you're not allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. So if that means that Moshe, with his perfect record, couldn't get in, he couldn't have his tefillahs answered, so then why does Hashem tell him to stop davening? Keep davening and davening, no problem, you're never going to get answered. No, the pshat is that Moshe Rabbeinu said, give me a present, Hashem. Give me a present, give me a present, give me. And says the Pnei Yeshua, the whole tachlis of davening is to get what you don't deserve. The whole reason we daven is to get things that are not shaykh to us. And the pshat in this Gemara, according to the Maharsha and the Pnei Yeshua, is gdola tefillah yoser mimaisim tovim. Tefillah tu zayif. It creates a reality more than anything. And because we're coming like a little kid saying, please, can I have that candy? Please, can we go on that trip? You'll see when your parents, not easy. The more the kid asks, the more the kid asks, it's hard. It's hard to say no. I was once zocha to see Rav Shimshon Pinkus when I was young. Rav Shimshon Pinkus Zatzal. And I didn't even know who he was, and it was like unbelievable. Even me as this little kid, I must have been 18, I was looking at this man, I'm like, wow, he looks really holy. I was like really taken aback. And he said the following thing. He was trying to explain Hoshanas. Hoshanas, you know, Hoshana, Lamancha, Hoshana, 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 Hoshana. We always say these things, you know, Hoshana, 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 Hoshana. You know, when you're in a big rush, it sounds like, Hoshana, Hoshana, Hoshana. What is that? What are we davening, all those things? So he said he's the Rav of the Negev. He said he's the Rav of a town in the Negev. And somebody came to him in the middle of the night. He says, come to the Rav in the middle of the night? Must be something very, very serious, right? So he comes, he says, can I help you? He says, I need Shoko. I need chocolate milk. Come to the Rav. 3 a.m, Rav Osai, for chocolate milk. What's pshat? He says, my kid is driving me crazy. He keeps going, and Rav Shimshon had a high-pitched voice, and to me this resonates. It was my only time to see him in person. He said, my kid is going, Shoko! 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 Because I can't handle it anymore. Does the Rav have chocolate milk? Because can you imagine be willing to go to the Rav? I'm still wondering if this story was a dramatization, but I as a kid for sure believed that it was happening. And he said that that's what we're doing. Sometimes we drive Hashem crazy. Hoshana, 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 Hoshana. Just because we're the child of Borei Olam. Borei Olam will give us things because we have that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the tefillah. Tefillah has the ability to rip through Shamayim. It has the ability to rip through a Gzar Din, because ultimately it's Megala that forgetting everything that I do, I'm close with Hashem. And if I'm close with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that alone entitles me to get things that I don't deserve, that are mamish of matnas chinam, that are mamish for free. And this is a very intense experience, like we explained. We explained that this is not like learning, even though we learn most of the day. It's true, but this intimacy with Borei Olam of davening is not like any type of learning. And you can see this through something that is a mind-boggling story, and it's not a story from a storybook, Rabosai. It's a story that is recorded in the Hakdama of the Safra Ditzniusa, of the parish of the Vilna Gaon of the Safra Ditzniusa, by none other than the Gadol Hador of Chaim Volozhiner. This is not just a regular art school book, rendition of a story. Nothing against them. But this is Rav Chaim Volozhiner writing about his Rebbe. His Rebbe, the Vilna Gaon, said, I never understood how vite it goes, davening, this chibur with Hashem. He says, I was in the middle of davening on Rosh Chodesh, Shacharis, first day of Rosh Chodesh. And he said, there was a piece in the Zohar that was shaykh to Rosh Chodesh that I never had a shaykhus with, never was able to crack. He says, seven pshatim came into my head at the same time. How that's possible, I don't know. He was the Vilna Gaon, and this was something that was literally the Malam in Ateva. Seven pshatim in something that he didn't... So he says, wow, this is an emergency situation in the middle of davening. He took 15 seconds to go over all the pshatim so that he would have them after Shmona Esrei. And he finishes the Shmona Esrei and he comes to write them down. All gone. Forgot all of them. This is the Vilna Gaon, Rabosai. This is somebody who at 10 years old was greater than any Adam Gadol will ever know. He forgot them all? Maybe one of them he should have kept. Forgot them all, Rabosai. Every single one of them. Then came Musaf. The Vilna Gaon goes into Musaf that same day. All seven came back. This time the Vilna Gaon did not interrupt his davening at Ki Huzeh. Not at Ki Huzeh. Finished Musaf, remembered everything. He said he couldn't, there he was where he was makir, the godless of tefillah. What's going on over here? What a great thing to have seven pshatim like this in the davening. And what's the problem with that? It seems like with Shulchan Aruch, he was allowed to think about those things. There's something going on here, Rabosai. The intimacy of the conversation with Borei Olam, it could be all of Shas and Poskim is poor. No. I'm talking to Borei Olam now. There's a time and place for everything. I don't care if this is going to be the greatest Chiddush ever since Moshe Rabbeinu got the Torah. I'm having a conversation with the Rabbeinu Shalom. And I'm Choshesh, even though I don't have a ride to this, I'm a teeny little squirt, but I'm Choshesh. That how did he get, why did he get these pshatim in davening all of a sudden? Psst, psst, right? Like, why did it have to happen after Musaf? The pshat is probably, again, I'm a small little nothing, but from the davening itself, all these pshatim were being thrown at him. You know, this is where he's coming. He's davening to the Rabbeinu Shalom. He's getting present after present after present. But don't think about that now. Right now, it's the relationship. So close we have to feel with Borei Olam that every part of our Avodas Hashem is by the wayside. The Baal HaTanya writes in the Sefer Tanya that the Yetzer Hara tries to get you to do tshuva during davening, during Shmona Esrei. You're in the middle of Rei Vanyenu and like, I should get up earlier in the morning. You're spacing out and you think you're very Jewish because you're thinking about tshuva, but Rei Vanyenu goes and you got Barech Aleinu and oh, it's going, it's going, it's going, it's going. You finish Makhalein and you're like, I'm such a terrible guy, I gotta come. And you missed the whole Shmona. Yetzer Hara says, got that guy. He missed his davening. And says the Baal HaTanya, that's it. This is not the time for tshuva, this is the time for the relationship. That's a very high standard, but you know what? That makes a lot of sense. Because we're entering a zone with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're entering a place of tremendous kirva. So if that's the case, I have a basic question. I have a very basic question. If this is really such a relationship, then why do we have to say the same thing every day, three times a day, the same Shmona Esrei? I mean, we're all of us, guys. I mean, we're not geniuses, but we're all autopilot on this thing. We are so intelligent that none of us have to think about any part of Shmona Esrei, and we just say the whole thing. We're like the Rugachever when it comes to davening. We do not need to think about one iota. Comes Hashem Svasai Tiftach, we're in outer space, but we keep going. If you listen to the guy, he's actually saying every word. And somehow you're like, but, oh, where am I? Okay, there. Keep going. And you just go. Why? It would be so much better if we didn't have a script. It would be so much better if every day we're like, okay, how are we going to do this today? Maybe I'll tell Hashem this, I'm going to speak to this. Well, that's something that, you know, I could hear. You could hear such a taina. You know, imagine somebody comes home. I mean, you guys aren't married yet, some of you. But, you know, this will not work. You come home, and every day you go, I love the potato kugel, and I love the cake, and especially the marshmallow brownies, and if you give the... And if the... It doesn't go. You can't do that every... Halavai. Halavai. Everyone married here is like, oh, if only, right? That's not a relationship. Every day the same thing. The guy has nothing to say to his wife. The same thing. You're a kale gadol gibor v'noira. Come on, let's get original. Let's try to say something over here. It's a relationship. It's a relationship. And we're suffering sometimes from the monotony, from the boredom of this. So why is this? What's going on? So, Lemaisa, Lamaisa, it's not a good mashal with a wife. It's not a mashal at all. Imagine you're coming in front of somebody who is the most awesome being known to mankind, known to anything. And you now have to come in front of that awesome being and beseech that being, Melech Malchei Hamlachim, for something. You know what you're going to do? You're going to run to the holiest rabbi that you know and go, "What do I say? What do I say?" And imagine he goes to you, "Here, just say this thing." Thank you. Baruch Ata Hashem. To speak to Borei Olam? How do you establish in a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You just feel like you want to crawl into a hole by nature. And if you don't, something's wrong with you. Baruch Hashem that we have Chazal who are masakin for us. And someone wants to get creative? Lamaisa, we have somebody who got creative. The Gemara in Brachas on Daf Lamed Gimel says that there was a Yid who came to Rav Chanina. Hahu denachis kameder Rav Chanina. And he was very excited. He said he's going to be that guy. Amar hakel hagadol hagibur vanoira. Okay, we know those. Now he goes va adir va ozuz va yorui hachozek va amet va vadai va nichbud. And Rav Chanina is listening to this guy go on and on with all these wonderful things. Him din lo adisim. He waited till he finished, and he says siam ticha lekula shvachat demarach. Did you really finish all of the praises of Borei Olam? Who in the world do you think you are? And the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, a mashal lemelech basav adam, a king shahayu elef alfei dinarim zav. He's got billions and billions of golden coins. Vahayu mekalsin oso b'shel kesef, and you compliment him with kesef, with silver coins. Genai hulo, you're insulting the king. So this is very hard to understand over here, but these are really nice praises. They're probably from Nevi'im, all of them. I'm not such an expert, but they're all very, very nice. What's this pshat that it's like there's golden coins, there's the great praises of Hashem, and these are the silver ones? Marsha says something scary, Rav Osai. He says that the mashal doesn't make sense, because be'etzem, if there's a problem with complimenting Hashem, so then there's a problem. But here, why are these ones called the Spitz, the Zav? You're saying Hashem has all the golden coins, and if you go to the extra ones, it's like the silver coins. He says that Gadol, Gibor, and Noira, these three phrases, Gadol, Gibor, and Noira, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Gadol, is Shaykh to his great chesed, that he's Gibor, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shaykh to great power, and Noira, that he's awesome. All three of these include every single possible compliment you would ever possibly give Borei Olam. The Mekubalim call them Chesed, Gvura, and Tiferes. These are the things that if you say these three things, you've covered everything. So just go up there, and you get up in your Shmona Esrei, and it's scary, and you say, Hashem, you're a Gadol. You're a Gibor and a Noira, and Chazal tell you that if you say those things, but once you start adding, what are you adding all these details? You have Gadol, Gibor, Vinoira, Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes. You've covered everything. After that point, you're insulting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is a difficult experience. If you really think about what we're doing, it's true that Hashem loves us, but don't forget, He's not just an Abba Hashem. He's also a king. And the first thing that we say when we start a Shmona Esrei is, Hashem svasai tiftach ufi yagi tehila secha. Hashem, open my mouth. And the Arbidrahum says, in his Perush on Tefillah, he says, Hashem, please let me articulate what is going on by me. Please let me say this in a way that's pleasant to you. Please let me communicate in a way that should go. Even with the script. Because it's a pachad pchadim. We're coming in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're establishing a relationship with the Melech Malchei Hamlachim. Originally, it wasn't like this. We didn't need a total script. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tefillah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Dalet, Kevan Shegolu Yisrael B'Yimeinu Nebuchadnezzar HaRasha. Once Klal Yisrael were exiled by Nebuchadnezzar, they were mixed up in Persia, in Yavan, in Greece, Vishar HaUmos, and all the nations. V'nodol and banim ba'aretz is ha'goyim. They were among the goyim. But osa habanim nisbabul svasam. They didn't have a proper language anymore, and they couldn't articulate what they wanted. Sometimes they said something that was from an entirely different language in Gansin, and sometimes they said things that were too short. They should have been too long. So Ezra came. Ezra and Anshe Knesset HaGdoila, and they were masaking this to answer the problem, so that we should be able to come to Borei Olam and be confident that we can communicate what we want from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's much more than that. It's much more than that. The Nefesh HaChaim, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, writes that the Anshe Knesset HaGdoila had to be Nevi'im, they had to be prophets in order to create this. He says that they created a Shmona Esrei, that there will never be in the history of mankind a Shmona Esrei that does the same thing upstairs, downstairs, everywhere you look. Every Shmona Esrei from the history of time until now will always do new things in Shammai. He says it's not possible to understand what they did. They did something that was lamala minateva. It was beyond our comprehension. They created something that if you say the words, if you say this, you just rip through everything. You rip through mamash. You go right into Shammai. The Pnei Yoshua asks a kasha on a Gemara. The Gemara says in Brachos and Daf Chav Ches that Rav Gamliel was looking to find somebody who could write a new bracha. We had a Shmona Esrei, but now we needed Vala Malshinim. There was trouble in Klal Yisrael. There were tzedukim around. There were big troublemakers around. So we needed somebody. And they were at a loss. They said, is there anybody in our generation who can make this Shmona Esrei, who can add a bracha? So they finally found Shmuel HaKatan. And Shmuel HaKatan was mesaking the bracha. And then, Lashon HaKher Shachra, he forgot it after a year. Interesting, he forgot it. He was pretty bright. Forgot it. V'hishkif ba'ashtayim v'shalashos. And then he went into a state of tremendous concentration. And he got it back. Where'd it go? I don't know. What is going on in this Gemara? Says the Pnei Yeshua. He says, what is going on in this Gemara? He says, afilu nashim. Even ladies could write. You'll excuse me. It's not my own mashal. Even ladies could write a bracha about how to get rid of tzedukim. He says, what in the world is going on? He goes, not only is it hard to find someone. They found the Shmuel HaKatan. Then he forgot the whole thing. It's like a little cheder yingo rachman otzad. He forgot? What do you mean you forgot? Just like... And then he got it back. What's going on over here? Says the Pnei Yoshua that Anshe Knesset HaGdoila didn't just write a communication with Borei Olam, just some sort of script. He says they knew all the secrets of creation. And they were able to manipulate all the things so much so that when you say that bracha, it does all sorts of things you could never even imagine. The articulating those words. And they couldn't find anyone who could write a bracha like that. Whoa, a new one? You need a bracha? Finally, they found Shmuel HaKatan. It wasn't simple. A year, and then forgetting it, getting it back, because this is teef. This is teef. And this is exactly what we have as a gift from the Ribbono Shalom. The Bir Halacha. Marsh the Mishnah Berurah, Rabbosai. We're not getting too far afield. The Mishnah Berurah. He talks about, let's say a person doesn't want to daven in Lashon HaKodesh in what Anshe Knesset HaGdoila had for us. This is in Siman Kuf Aleph, in the Bir Halacha. And they want to go off on their own. So, he says that if a person really can't have Kavana, and they want to go for it, they could do it B'chol Lashon. But then he says, you've got to do it as much as you can, Lashon HaKodesh. You've got to stick to the script. Why? Ki Lashon HaKodesh yesh lo skulos rabos mikol lashonos. The skula of davening in Lashon HaKodesh has the skula that you can't imagine. Lashon HaKodesh baruch hu medabrim neviyav. This is how Hashem speaks to people with this language. Kamo shekatzav Rabban in Parshas Kitisa. That's why it's called Lashon HaKodesh. That everything is made out of the letters of the Torah. V'gam shetiknu Anshe Knesset HaGdoila es nusach ha'tvila. When Anshe Knesset HaGdoila established the davening, hayu meyav esrim zekanim and kamen neviim. There were prophets involved here, Rabosai. They knew all the combinations of the letters and every word. They knew all the secrets that were going on here. When you just say these words, like they had been masakin, and even though you have no idea what you're talking about. Mikol makom osalanu tefilas kahogen. The tefillah goes up and it works. Ki atevos ba'atman, the words themselves. Polalim kidushasim lamala, they do work upstairs. This is a Mishnah Berurah. If you think I'm quoting from a Kabbalah sefer, you can check me out. The Mishnah Berurah says, Anshei Knesset Agdolah gave us this amazing gift, and it goes up to Shamayim just like that. It's hard to daven. You know, there's a sefer called Shari Oira, Rav Yosef Jikatila, and the Mabit in Beis Elokim, early Svarim. The Shari Oira is from the Tkufa of the Ramban. The Beis Elokim is from 500 years ago. They say that when you daven, you have to get the right names of Hashem for what you want. Sometimes you need to say Shakai. Sometimes you need to say Elokei Haruchos. Sometimes you need to say Tzvakos. Sometimes you need to say Hashem Elokeinu. Sometimes you need to say Kael. Huh? Whoa! Guys, let's find anybody here who will know how to pick these ones. Imagine you have to go in front of Hashem. You have to know exactly what Shem. Yeah, because now you're asking for children. You got to say that name. Now you're asking for Parnassa. You got to say that. Imagine having to do this on your own. No problem, Rabosai. Just start looking in Shmoneh Esrei. You'll see a lot of times. Sometimes in a bracha it says Hashem Elokeinu. Sometimes in Rifayinu it says Kael. I don't know. I have no clue why. And you know what? Maybe sometimes they get a pshat here, a pshat there. It doesn't matter. We have a script. We know that these brachas were created in such a way that when you say this, you're zeroing in on everything you would possibly ever want to get out of this. Anything you would ever want for a refuah, anything you would ever want for a parnasa, it's all here. This is the nakuda of having this script in order to forge this relationship. Where does your own heart come in? So there's a big chiddush. There's a big chiddush here. And there's something called writing the words. You can ride the word. You can put in your own creative connection with Hashem in the word. I'm not going to get into the halachas of adding, but even if you're not adding, you can put into the words your own special kavanas. Someone once came to Rav Chatzkel Abramsky and said he got a blood transfusion that day. Okay, very nice. He goes, I daven every day not to get a blood transfusion. Where? In benching. It says, Loli day matnas basar v'dam. I should not get a present from a living person. That's what it says in my benching. Not Rav Chatzkel Abramsky. He says, every day I have in mind, Loli day matnas, I should never get a gift of flesh, a body part, you know, get some sort of transplant, v'dam, or need to have a present of blood. What? You can do that? You can daven like that? They asked Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Yibadol Chaim Tovim, in Derech Sicha. They brought this mice in front of him. They said, you can do that? He says, absolutely. Absolutely. If something works in the words, you can send it up. You can put your creativity into the bracha. 100%. So much so that Rav Volbin Zatzal says it's not kedai to read so many perushim on the sitter, because it will limit your creativity of how you daven. He says, pick a standard. He picks the Siddur Hagra, the Siach Yitzchak. He says, pick one, but then aside from that, you go. You're protected. You won't say something dumb, but you're in this powerful Nusach, and you can place your lave inside of this. You can put your feeling into this thing. This is the bracha of Shmona Esrei. And guess what? When you space out, you know where it goes. The Shari Oira and the Yisod B'Shor Shavoida explain that when you have a space out Shmona Esrei, it doesn't disappear. It goes into a place where it gets held up, for questioning, whatever the case may be. It stays in there, and then if you have 20 of these guys, each one goes into this warehouse, and it stays there. And then, says the Shari Oira, you have one good Shmona Esrei, and it opens the doors for all the other ones. That big Shmona Esrei drags 20 space out Shmona Esrei. There's only total space out Shmona Esrei. Brings them all up to Shemayim. How do you do that? What? Last time I checked, when I have a conversation with you and I space out, you're like, Rabbi Stark's insane. Like, imagine I'm talking to you like, Yankees. like, Rabbi Stark, I want to know about my chavrusa. Pizza. Cartoons. The Rangers. They'll commit me, Rabosai. And yet, these Shmona Esrays, they go up to the Rabbona Shalom because be'etzem, they're real. There's a tremendous chesed over here. And there'll be a time you'll get that one good Shmona Esray, all of them go up. And there was a tremendous desire for Klal Yisrael to have this bracha. The takana of the Arizal, we know the Arizal came on the scene and a lot of people took on his nusach. What was the issue by this? A little bit of history. So the pshat is, the Arizal writes in Shar Kavanas, we're going to learn a little bit of Holy Inyanim for a second, that there are 12 gates in Shamayim, connected the 12 Shvatim. And each Shevet, in theory, has their own nusach HaTvila. And each one goes through a separate gate. It was meant to be that there are 12 different ones. And, in fact, we don't know what Shevet we're from, but whatever nusach we have is good to go. And the Arizal came, Rabosai, and the Chida says he pulled it off. He made a joker card nusach. He made the nusach that includes all 12 gates. Like, you got this one, you're good to go. And everyone went on the bandwagon. And the Chasam Sofer said, not so fast. He said, if the Arizal had davened Nusach Ashkenaz, then he would show us the secrets in our Nusach. He did it in Nusach Svard. He showed that one. If we had someone as big as him in Nusach Ashkenaz, we would go for that. We would go that route too. And that was the Chasam Sofer. But this was the whole issue. What the Arizal did, this is powerful stuff, Rabosai. And every time a person goes into Shmona Esrei, they have to understand that there's a matana gemura over here. There's a tremendous matana that we have what to say. Now, of course, you need to have kavana and you need to come into it, but you have to learn how to be appropriate. What does it mean, learn how to be appropriate? Study what to ask for from the Shmona Esrei. Not just this holy thing of that the words build worlds and all sorts of things. No, I learned from the Shmona Esrei what's appropriate. I start with Shevach, with praising Hashem. I ask and then I thank. That's first of all basic derech eretz the Chazal set up for us. Then there's an order of how to ask for priorities in life. We ask for wisdom first. That's interesting. Why do we ask for that before health? We can learn. We could study this to learn about what life is. Here we have an amazing thing. Anshei Knesset HaGdolah are telling us how to spill out our guts. So we could either, if you can't beat them, then join them. If you don't understand why they put this bracha here or there, you can shape your entire life based on this. You can say, wow, the most important thing is knowledge. That's amazing. Look how far Rifaenu is on the list. Health. You learn about yourself. You learn about your neshama from this. You learn about caring about Yerushalayim. You learn about Mashiach. Why are we saying this all the time? So if you can't beat them, join them. A person has to be bothered if there's something that's so distant from them. And that's how a person strikes from the schus gadol that we have, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this wonderful Shmona Esrei.